A diagnosis of breast cancer can cause a life-changing ripple effect of impact, affecting those we love the most and those upon whom we lean for comfort and strength in the most challenging of times. My name is Aisling Hurley and I'm the CEO of Breast Cancer Ireland, and you're listening to More Than a Lump, a podcast that talks openly and honestly to a selection of guests about their very personal connection to breast cancer, be it through their career choice, their own first-hand experience of the disease, or through sharing the experience of close family members. My conversations will centre on how breast cancer has informed their perspective on life, love, family, health, their goals, and indeed their aspirations. Although each story is utterly unique, the one common thread that runs through each one is that breast cancer is more than a lump. Juliette O'Connell was just 41 when she was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer. A chance checkup with the GP led to the unexpected news that threw her world upside down. The Limerick native admits she was simply not breast aware at the time, in prime fitness and taking her health for granted. Juliette is now an outreach coordinator with Breast Cancer Ireland, bringing important messages of good breast health to the likes of transition year students, teachers, as well as community groups and companies in the Munster region. In today's episode, Juliette talks about how she didn't think for 1 minute that she would be the girl diagnosed, and that the rash she spotted, but later turned out to be a breast cancer diagnosis, was more than a lump. You're so welcome to More Than a Lump, Juliette, and I'm thrilled to have a fellow Limerick woman here with us today. There was no breast cancer in your family. You're a keen cyclist, I know, and only 41 years of age when you were diagnosed. Tell us a little about that, your story.
Okay, so thanks very much, Aisling, for having me here today. And I suppose for me, yes, at the age of 41, wasn't breast aware, hadn't a clue of the signs and symptoms of breast cancer, never self-examined. Fit, well, healthy, you know, every three kids. Didn't think for 1 minute that I would be the girl that would be diagnosed with breast cancer, but unfortunately I was. Back in the 9th of March 2012, I was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer. And I suppose 10 months before that, which would bring you back to June of 2011, when I first recognised a rash running across my collarbone on the left-hand side and slightly down onto the top of my left breast. I suppose every time I came back from a road cycle or even a spinning class, I used to do spinning classes, I'd recognise the rash wasn't sore to touch, wasn't itchy. And the only time it bothered me was when I went in to have a shower and the pressure of the water used to actually pierce me. When I'd come out of the shower, I'd dry it off and I'd put pseudocream on it. And within maybe less than 24 hours, the rash would be gone and wouldn't come back out again until maybe I was back out on the bike or exercising and to come back out. And I suppose the truth is I was never going to go to the GP with this. Number one, I did not know this was a sign or a symptom of breast cancer. And number two, I was probably too mean to spend the €50 at the GP, which was the biggest thing. So I suppose a local chemist I went to, and I spoke to a lady called Bernie. I'd know Bernie all my life, probably, and a great lady. And I asked her, would she give me cream? Pulled down my top, showed her the rash. No, she said, I wouldn't be able to give you anything for that. You'd be better off going to the GP. Insisted I go to the GP, didn't take her advice, obviously. Went home and still put the pseudocream on because it was the cheapest option. So then moving on to the 23rd of October 2011, which my son got sick, and I took him to the GP. And while I was there, I suppose Bernie's message was ringing in my ears, get it checked with the GP. So I happened to mention it to the GP. She examined me, asked me the irrelevant questions. Is there breast cancer in your family? Was I feeling any way unwell? Had I lost any weight? The answer was no to every one of them. She said, look, I'm going to send a letter into the breast care unit at Limerick Regional Hospital, just for precautionary reasons, nothing to worry about. So I suppose I left and went home happy that she was happy and I was okay with it as well. Mm-hmm. And then that appointment arrived out for the 9th of December, and I did go in, met the consultant, also thoroughly examined me and found nothing wrong, asked me all the questions, I answered no to them, still absolutely feeling fine, still out cycling, still spinning. I mean, we used to cycle a good bit on Sundays, like, and maybe some Wednesday evenings we'd go out on the bike, so we were training a good bit. My aim was the Wicklow 200 with my brother in 2012, and that was my aim. Plus the Ring of Kerry was thrown in there as well. And I suppose, and on top of that, I suppose that was the main aim, was the cycling coming up. So I had three kids at home, and I suppose she wanted to send me for a mammogram that morning, I suppose. And I asked her, like, was it today? And she said, no, actually, it won't be today. You know, it's not urgent. We'll wait for the appointment to come out in the post. So I left and went home. And I suppose that appointment was 3 months by the time that appointment came out, which was March, the 9th of March. And I suppose realistically for me, I suppose other things started to happen then. In January, my nipple started to get very sore on the left-hand side, started to secrete a liquid from the tip of the nipple. Didn't contact back the consultant I'd met in December, didn't ring my GP. I actually told nobody about this because part of me was a bit embarrassed. I was a bit vain. Didn't want anyone to know this was happening to my nipple. Thought it was a part of getting old. So the pseudocream I put it on, but it didn't make any difference. It got really sore as time went on. So I suppose lack of education kept me at home again. So then I went in for that mammogram on the 9th of March. I had the mammogram first, followed by an ultrasound, followed by a biopsy. And then walked up to the breast care unit where the consultant I'd met that December was waiting to speak to me. And I suppose she had called my next of kin, who was my sister, Mary. And she actually was there when I arrived up. So she kind of had a fair idea. So I hadn't a clue still. As green as grass, sitting there thinking everything was fine. But I kind of knew by my sister's face when I kind of saw her, I knew there was something wrong. So then she sat me down. The consultant said, we've found cancer of the breast. Absolutely massive shock to me. I mean, I didn't take it too lightly now, I can tell you that. But
and stage three.
Yeah. Now, she actually couldn't tell me the type of cancer, the stage it was at, but she knew, I knew that it was, you know, fairly bad looking, like, because she'd said they'd found the tumours, two in the breast, one in the lymph nodes. She said there were quite big tumours in the breast. They weren't at the surface of the breast. They were deep into the breast tissue. So she said, look, you know, the following week I'd scans and tests, and they came back and showed the cancer was still contained in the breast and in the lymph nodes. And I suppose more tissue sample tests and blood tests were taken again to be sent off to see what type of cancer it was and what stage it was at, because as you all know, there isn't just one type of breast cancer out there, mm-hmm. and there's different stages. So that test took about 3.5 weeks to come back, and it showed that I was diagnosed with stage 3 HER2 positive breast cancer. So I suppose this is known as an aggressive type of breast cancer. And I suppose for me, I was very grateful with the treatment that I got at Limerick Regional Hospital at the breast care unit. The oncology unit was brilliant to me. My treatment plan was to start first. They felt it would be best. They wanted to try and reduce the size of the tumours before I had to have the breast removed. And I suppose that day, I suppose if I go back to that day, the 9th of March, they actually told me that day what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Chemotherapy, mastectomy, and radiotherapy, I definitely knew that day before I left the hospital. So I suppose they just needed to see what type of cancer it was. And thankfully the treatment was really went well. And when I had the breast removed after the treatment, it showed a phenomenal result for me. There was actually no cancer found or left in the breast. So mm-hmm. chemotherapy, Herceptin, and the clinical trial drug called lapatinib, I was on that. Mm. 3 tablets I had to take every day at the same time. And then the Herceptin was with the chemo, one every 3 weeks. And I suppose outstanding result was the cancer was completely gone. When they removed the lymph nodes, they found one damaged, but my cancer was completely gone. So I had an outstanding result from Fantastic. The treatment. So,
and you're still, thankfully, several years later, yes. cancer-free, which is amazing.
10 years just since the 9th of March gone.
Fantastic.
10
wow.
years, yeah.
That is remarkable.
Yeah.
And I suppose the support services of your family were key in your recovery, your journey.
Yeah. Really, they were, like, I mean, I have one sister, one brother, and at the time my mum and dad, like, were alive. And I suppose the biggest worry was to give them the news. Yeah. That was my biggest worry. I know the kids were small. I was trying to, you know, spare them, but we lived in a small little parish in County Limerick, so news travels very, very fast. And I think everybody was in shock when they heard that I was diagnosed with breast cancer, because I never got off the bike. I was constantly running, racing around the place. So I suppose my family were a huge support to me. My sister, my brother, like, she was, like, constantly there, like, you know, constantly there for my brother. I was always saying, we'll still go for a spin on a Sunday cycle, we'll get back into it, and mm-hmm. you know, everything will be fine. I knew by them they were broken hearted, like, you know, my mother and father were broken hearted, and you know, it was tough. Like, my friends as well rallied around me, and huge support, you know, the dinners were being made, and you know, a huge support all yeah. around.
And you need that at that time. Yeah. You know, I hear
definitely
talk to so many, and it's amazing, families and friends and neighbours yeah. who just, you know, take a rota on board yeah. to just, you know, help out with somebody yeah. that has a diagnosis.
And there was fantastic. A rota, like, because they were taking the kids, because the appointments were really, you know, coming fast in the door, and taking the kids, making the dinners, asking, can we do the washing and the ironing, and you know, even quick up and clean the house for you. Or, you know, everyone was so good, like, but, you know, everyone was in such shock, like, in the whole parish, like, you know, everyone was.
I suppose it's interesting, you know, 10 months, 11 months, you waited. And I suppose that wait brought about your diagnosis of stage 3, where it was very aggressive and very advanced.
Yeah.
Had you known, what would you tell your younger self?
Okay, if I had known, I mean, the very minute I'd have noticed that rash, I would have went straight to the GP. Yeah. I leave nothing to chance now. I mean, I'm probably over, I suppose, going to the GP a good bit more, like, you know, anything at all I'd notice or recognise, I'd be there in a flash. Now, I leave nothing to chance. So what I would say is, like, never, you know, turn around and say, ah, it might be nothing, or I'll leave it a week, I'll leave it 2 weeks, yeah. I'll leave it, what, you know, so... You know, it's going, getting things checked out, checking them out early. Early yeah. detection is definitely key.
Absolutely.
It is key going forward, to be honest.
And now, thankfully, you've joined Breast Cancer Ireland as an education and outreach coordinator. I suppose because you're passionate about how you didn't realise that there were 8 signs and symptoms for a breast cancer diagnosis, and you didn't realise that it could happen to younger women.
Yeah.
And I suppose, you know, now in the Munster region, you're out there talking all the time with the complementary programme to schools and to companies and to community groups. Yeah. Tell us a bit about that work.
Okay, so I truly love my job. I really do. I mean, I feel so positive about giving this information out there, because, like I said, lack of education for me was huge. If I had known those 8 signs and symptoms. So I feel, you know, traveling around to schools, speaking to transition year students, 5th years, 6th years, teachers, people in the community, people in the workplace, it's giving them, I suppose, and given this information from a young age as well. So it's going forward in their lives. The idea is, no matter what they notice, no matter how small or insignificant it may be, the idea is, please go and get that medically checked out. It doesn't always have to turn out to be cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, the important thing is that you are getting it checked out, mm-hmm. and you're not sitting at home.
Exactly. And
worrying.
I suppose things we've always spoken about at Breast Cancer Ireland is knowing your norm, you know, knowing your baseline. If you know where you are, say, this month, and you check yourself, if something arises that's abnormal in any way, you go immediately to your GP.
Yes.
You know, you're triaged on a medium, high risk, low risk
basis,
and then you're moved on into a breast clinic if there's any concern. But you are seen. And I think that's what I noticed over COVID in the last 2 years, that women sometimes were hesitant about going forward because they were a fear of COVID in hospitals, etc. And we were trying to reassure them, it doesn't, you know, the hospitals are now so safe, the protocols are in place, safety measures are in place, and you will be seen. And it was interesting, even pre-COVID, with you and your fellow coordinators, because we have coordinators in Leinster and in Ulster also, providing this free programme, that you had met in the region of about 35,000 women and young girls over a 12-month period, and there were a few early detected cases as a result. And that's what makes it work.
That's what makes it so worthwhile, to be honest, meeting those people and helping those people. And I suppose it's being passionate about giving the information out there. And people want to listen to this information. They're so grateful because you're showing them the 8 signs and symptoms on our medical mannequin. Mm-hmm. You're also showing them how to visually check and self-examine once a month. And we're offering them our fantastic app, the free to download app, Breast Aware, which is absolutely unbelievable. I use that app myself every single month. So I'm really on top of my health. Like, and, you know, people are so surprised when they hear about the app, and, you know, they're so straight away. You even see, like, some of the students even going straight online with their phones now, because the majority of them can have their phones in classes now, and they're online straight away downloading the app. So, you know, it's going to help people going forward in their lives, definitely, mm-hmm. you know, because yeah. it's important.
And I think even more recently, in I suppose last October, we did a huge piece of research and we found that pre-October, which is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, the level of self-checking, the level of knowledge and the consistency monthly to check yourself was very low, which was shocking.
Yeah.
And I think we, you know, we take for granted that people understand about breast cancer. Yeah. And I think people say, oh, I do understand about breast cancer and I know you have to catch it early, but I don't necessarily know how to check myself yes. properly. And I don't necessarily yeah. know the 8 signs and symptoms. Yeah. For instance, the majority thought it was just a lump. Hence the podcast name. It's yeah. more than a lump.
Yeah.
And hence, you know, your diagnosis yeah. was the rash. So I do think that it's so important. And I love some of the commentary and the feedback that I get from the schools where, you know, you're talking to young girls of like 15, 16, 17.
Yes.
And it's not necessarily to, it's never to scare them, but no. it's more to use them nearly as social ambassadors
yeah.
that they then go home to mommy and granny and auntie
yeah.
and they're talking about it. I had one feedback from a school recently from the principal who said that a lady, a parent had rang in to say she was thanking them for the amazing talk that had been given because her daughter brought the shower card home, talked yeah. about the app, and the following day she was having a shower and noticed she had two of the symptoms
yeah.
and signs and was later diagnosed and has, you know, had her full mastectomy.
Yeah.
So, you know, it does work. Awareness will save lives.
It's powerful. It really, really is. And like that, you know, when you're presenting in the schools, the TYs and 15, 16 years, I always say to them, take that card home. You know, leave it on the kitchen table, leave it on the worktop. You don't even have to have the conversation if you don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
You can just leave that there. It's lovely. It's pink. They'll yeah. pick it up. All the signs and symptoms are on it. The information about the app is at the back of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you'll be helping a loved one, you know, and to recognise these signs and symptoms,
mm-hmm.
which is so important, to be mm-hmm. honest. You know, I truly believe that this is the way to go. Like, you know, we
absolutely.
Need
education
to give,
is key.
Education is key
yeah.
going forward.
Yeah, because it is all about awareness. And Juliet, listen, thank you so much for coming
thank
here
you.
Today. I really appreciated having the chat. And I suppose for anyone that's interested in our complimentary education and awareness programme, please contact breastcancerireland.ie. We'll put you in touch with your regional coordinator who will be happy to come to talk yeah. to your school, your teachers, your organisations or your community groups in your area. Thanks a million, Juliet.
Thank you so much, Ashley.
The information in this podcast is based on the personal stories of those we have chatted to. If you are concerned in any way, please contact your GP immediately, or you can contact us at breastcancerireland.com.